The Montreal Canadiens, 18th in the National Hockey League going into the playoffs overall, down 3-1 in the first round to the Toronto Maple Leafs, are going to the Stanley Cup Finals. They await the winner of the New York Islanders-Tampa Bay Lightning series, other news and rumors, and why the Leafs might just be the villains. All that and more, episode 85, Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Let's go.
A chance for Pacioretty, and now back the other way. It's Denoyan. Patrick Kroll scores!
Arturi Lehkonen, 1:39 into overtime. The Montreal Canadiens are off to the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time since 1993. Question it all you want. Love it. Hate it. What a story. What a Cinderella story the Canadiens are. We're going to get into that and more here on the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Follow along on Instagram and Twitter at ST Hockey Podcast, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Another article out. Again, I do a little bit of writing with the hockey writers and with the Vancouver Canucks, and I said the Canucks could learn a thing or two from these teams, especially the Montreal Canadiens, and learn a thing or two about playoff success and how to get to that point. And Montreal's kind of a perfect example for them. If you want to go check it out on the hockeywriters.com page on the Vancouver Canucks. But we got a lot to get to on the show today. Of course, we'll recap the Habs win last night over Vegas. Everyone was hilariously wrong on the Habs. And for, you know, to no one's fault, no one expected them to get past the first round. No one expected them to get past the third. No one expected them to beat Vegas going into that series. So we'll talk about that. Tampa Bay Lightning and New York Islanders had a Game 7 their matchup tonight. The winner will play the Habs, will host the Habs. Game 1 is expected to go Monday. Each team gets a little bit of time to recover afterwards. Seattle gets their head coach. We'll bring that up in a little bit as well. News and rumors, who could be going where, what news has stuck, which players are not going certain places. And there was an article written about the Toronto Maple Leafs that, as much as you don't like it, as much as if you're a fan and you think that they're the good guys, the article actually makes a lot of sense and explains why they might just be the bad guys, at least in everyone else's eyes, in the National Hockey League. But let's go back to Game 6 last night. Canadiens, Golden Knights, Montreal advances 3-2 in overtime. Arturi Lehkonen scoring less than 2 minutes in. Carey Price made 37 friggin' saves. And for the first time in 28 years, they are going back to the Stanley Cup Finals. My takeaway from this is that hockey is unlike any other sport when it comes down to playoff time, right? You can predict in almost any other sport who's probably going to the finals. The NFL last year, it was the two best quarterbacks. The round earlier, basically the final four were the four best quarterbacks left. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. The NBA finals for about a 4 or 5 year stretch had the same two teams in the finals. Outside of this year, the league has been very, if you have superstars, you're going. Right? Even the Euro Cup, all the best players, all the best teams, they always end up making it. You're never going to see the last Cinderella story I saw was like Ghana in the World Cup like 8, 9, 10 years ago. And they made it to like the top 16. They didn't even go that far. The NHL is the ultimate league where all you got to do is make it. All you got to do is get in. Give yourself a chance and then let the cards unfold. Montreal, over the course of the regular season, lost 11 more games than they won if you include overtime and shootout losses. They finished fourth in their division, just squeaking in. They fired their head coach. And before the playoffs, we're calling for their general manager to be fired. That was a thing, if you can believe it or not. They trailed the Toronto Maple Leafs 3-1 in the first round. Had to win back-to-back overtime games just to get it to Game 7. And they've been marching ever since. A team without Carey Price for the last month of the regular season, without a bona fide superstar like a McDavid, a Crosby, a McKinnon, a Matthews, have these 20 and 21-year-olds carrying them to the finals. It's the biggest Cinderella story I can remember in a long time. Very reminiscent of the, was it 2012 LA Kings, where they finished 8th in their conference, and then Jonathan Quick went on to win the Conn Smythe, and they win the Stanley Cup. They beat Chicago in the process of doing it. It honestly is incredible. And I remember, for all the people that were giving the Leafs and Leaf fans crap, Toronto's been their biggest test. Toronto had them dead to rights 3-1. Kudos to Montreal coming back. But ever since then, they swept Winnipeg. And outside of Game 1 where Vegas won 4-1, Vegas looked awful. They looked nervous. They looked like they didn't want to make a mistake. A couple things go into it. One, for Montreal, in all honesty, in my opinion, is ignorance is bliss. Right? You don't know what pressure is if you've never been under it before. There was no pressure on Montreal going into these playoffs. And again, what I am saying here today is not a slight on them. I'm not taking anything away from what the Habs did. They've earned every single bit of this, just like the Kings did in 2012, just like the Ducks did going all the way to the finals back in 03, the Carolina Hurricanes in 06, the Flames in 04. Now, two of those teams ended up losing. What I'm saying is, when you have a little bit more of a microscope, when you're under more of a spotlight, when there is more pressure on you, sometimes you squeeze your stick a little tighter. This should have been, that Vegas had an absolute clear path. They had the more complete team. They had better superstar players. Outside of Petrangelo Weber, which may be a wipe, you still had Shea Theodore, Alec Martinez. You had a bevy of other players. Stone, Pacioretty, former Montreal Canadiens captain on your team, right? It was considered one of the deeper teams left standing. They just took down the Colorado Avalanche, who I picked to win the cup. Montreal took care of them. Winnipeg Jets finished second in the North, swept them. They didn't even get a punch in. Toronto had them dead to rights, and Montreal just clawed their way back in, right? Think of all the pressure that each of those other teams have. I know Montreal hasn't been here in the last 28 years, but no one expected Montreal to win each and every one of the series that they've won so far. And that sometimes is a good thing. It means the pressure's off, the microscope's off. All the heat is on all the other stars on the other teams, and none of it's on you. As great as Carey Price has been, every single time Carey Price gets into these situations, whenever he's lost, it's been like, he's only one guy. Goalie can only do so much, right? The pressure gets taken off of him. Now, he had pressure early on in his career, but that's a whole other thing. Right? Ignorance is one. The second one, and this is in every single sport ever, they've been relatively healthy. Outside of a high stick on Corey Perry and bloodshot eyes from Jeff Petrie, have the Canadians really had a big blow? Jonathan Drouin, who hasn't been there in months, so he doesn't really count. And your biggest loss was Jake Evans? Think through every single round. Montreal has been the healthier team or the team that has been less decimated due to whatever. Toronto lost Jake Muzzin and John Tavares, two of their probably top five most important players. Team unraveled. Game one of the Winnipeg series, Mark Scheifele was suspended. Pierre-Luc Dubois was hurt. Nikolaj Ehlers was hurt. And then to a lesser extent, the Vegas Golden Knights, one, they kept switching goalies, which didn't help anybody, and they lost the guy who was centering Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty in Chandler Stephenson. He came back, but ultimately it was too late. Montreal's been a bevy of health, and whoever they play in the finals, whether it's the New York Islanders or the Tampa Bay Lightning, both of those teams are dealing with injuries. The Islanders don't have their captain in Anders Lee. In Tampa, the status on Nikita Kucherov, the leading point getter in the playoffs, is unknown. Think back to the NBA. So many examples. The Toronto Raptors, when they won their championship a couple years ago, had to play the Golden State Warriors. Kevin Durant went down. Tristan Thompson went down. Rotating players. And Toronto, just a bevy of health. Bevy of health. Siakam was there. Lowry was there. Kawhi was there. And Ibaka was there. Gasol was there. And Van Vliet. And bevy of health. LeBron James and that huge comeback, 3-1, also down to the Golden State Warriors. Andre Iguodala was hurt for a couple games. Draymond Green got suspended for two. Think about baseball. The healthy teams, the best bullpens, they always go farther. Football. Green Bay Packers missing their left tackle, which is one of the most important positions in football. Well, then their quarterback got hit all the time. Right, defensively, Tampa Bay was just fully stocked. They played Kansas City in the Super Bowl this past year. Kansas City's left tackle and right tackle were both hurt. So they didn't have anyone to protect the best quarterback in football, Patrick Mahomes. Tampa Bay was healthy. All the receivers were healthy. They went on to win. It's not an excuse. It's not a reason. It's not a crutch or anything like that. It's just sometimes you got to be lucky and you've got to take advantage of your luck and the situations that you're in. You also have to work hard, which is what Montreal has done. They've been fortunate to stay healthy. They've taken advantage of teams who aren't, and they've also taken advantage of the fact that maybe the other teams have a little bit more pressure than they do, and Montreal's learned to close out series. They also play a very simple game. They know who they are. They don't try to play the other team's game. You play their game, they make you play it. If you don't want to play it, they're still going to play it. Wild stuff from the Montreal Canadiens. Good on you. And you'll be waiting the winner of the next game we're going to talk about here. So there's a lot of speculation and whatnot going into Game 7 here. Tampa Bay Lightning, New York Islanders, they played each other last year, by the way, in the it was the Eastern Conference Finals. Tampa won that in six. And I remember saying this year, I'm like, this thing's going seven. Like, sorry, this series is going seven. And well, Tampa's about to host the Islanders to see who's going to face off against the Montreal Canadiens. Now, there's a lot of storylines in this one. The biggest one, Nikita Kucherov. Right? If Nikita Kucherov can't go, a huge blow to Tampa. And unlike the Stamkos situation, I don't know if Tampa's going to be able to overcome it. You still have one of the best goaltenders in the world in Vasilevsky. You've got probably the best defenseman left in Victor Hedman. And you've got probably the best playoff performer remaining, and that's Braden Point. And I don't even think that's arguable anymore. It was either him or Kucherov or Hedman. Like, it's one of the three rotating players on the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Islanders, what do they have going for them right now? Fearlessness. Laying it all out on the line. You're missing your captain. The third year removed from your captain, your former captain leaving you in John Tavares, and you've done nothing but go further and further and further in the postseason. And now, if Kucherov doesn't play, this is your golden ticket. It's your golden ticket opportunity to go on to the finals. Now, when they won that game in overtime, it was an overtime win to send this thing to Game 7 and Game 6. The Islanders win. Nassau Coliseum goes absolutely berserk. They're all throwing beer cans on the ice. I didn't get that. It's a celebration. The players didn't really seem to mind either, but like, I feel like some of them were like half full. Could have caught one of your guys, could have injured them, could have ruined the entire series, but I don't know. Islanders fans are weird. There were people still wearing Tavares sucks jerseys. Like, they're not over that still, but I don't know. As a Leaf fan, can't really blame you. We're not over the fact that Toronto didn't beat the Montreal Canadiens and Montreal's in the finals. So, but this has been, I said at the beginning of the series, if you wanted to watch some of the best hockey of your life, the cleanest hockey in terms of, like, it's fast paced, the passes are on the money every time, the hits are big. If you turn the puck over, the puck's in the back of the net. Game six, Blake Coleman turns the puck over. Anthony Beauvillier absolutely pounces on it and roofs it over Vasilevskiy. Like, you cannot make a mistake. And that's why, like, if you're a fan of a team who got eliminated in the first or second rounds and you're watching this, like, who, what fan of a team that's not playing right now or was one of the final fours watching this and watching the Islanders and Tampa go at it, watching Montreal just neutralize Vegas and sit there and go, yeah, our team could have won that. Like, as a Toronto fan, I'm like, even if Toronto got past Montreal and then Winnipeg even, which I don't know if they would have, I'm watching, like, Vegas, I'm watching Tampa, I'm watching the Islanders, I'm like, they're going to get killed. Like, these teams are playing the best hockey you can possibly play. And that's what it is. Get into the dance, play your best hockey at this time of the year. And a lot of teams choke under the pressure. A lot of teams just don't elevate their game, where guys like Braden Point score for 9 consecutive games. Like, he scored in almost every game in the playoffs. It's absolutely ridiculous. He's 9 straight. He's like 13 goals or 14 goals in like 16 games. It's absolutely ludicrous. But the Islanders have an incredible opportunity here. If Kucherov doesn't go, the door's wide open. It's not an excuse or anything like that, just, I know as a fan of a team who has a great opportunity and squanders it, you're going to be kicking yourselves, right? Because their big thing was, we do this as a unit, we do this as a team, we don't rely on our one star, we all participate. Barzal, Eberle, Beauvillier, Nelson, right? It's a collective team. Ryan Pulock, Adam Pellick, Varlamov, Sorokin, Josh Bailey. Like, I could go on here. The identity line of Casey Cizikas, Matt Martin, and Cal Clutterbuck. They play like 13 minutes a game, which is absurd for fourth liners. They all make like $2 to $3 million too, and they are some of the most impactful players on that team. Big opportunity. As for the Lightning, if they can win this game, if Kucherov doesn't go, and they win this game without him, they're the most complete team. And if they move on, they get Kucherov back. If the Lightning win this game, I don't see how, when they go to play Montreal, or if they go to play whoever goes, but I can't see the Lightning, if they move on, I can't see them losing more than a game to Montreal. And I understand that. I've been saying this every single round. But Tampa's different. Tampa doesn't have any weaknesses. Tampa's got 3 to 4 lines that are better than yours. Their 3 to 4 pairing defensemen are better than yours. And their goaltending, for the most part, is better than yours. At worst, it's on par. Like, Tampa's just, if they move on, they got to win. They have to win the cup, in my opinion. They are too good not to. But they got to be healthy. And what is Montreal taking advantage of? Teams that aren't healthy. The Islanders now have to do that. They have to take advantage of the fact, if Kucherov doesn't play, take advantage of a team that's not fully healthy. All right, before I go on and I finish off with the Maple Leafs here, because I have to, a lot of other news and rumors breaking in. And a lot of it, it's all fun, it's all speculation, and I'm trying to get an understanding on this. So, a lot of news breaking out about Jack Eichel still and how he's going to get moved before the draft and the free agency period. And one of the teams, apparently, that was very in on him is no longer in on him. That's the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Blue Jackets, who have been dying for a number one center for I don't know how long now, are apparently out on the Eichel sweepstakes. Some of the reports from the Hockey Hound and other ones, Columbus is out on Jack Eichel. Now, apparently there was an offer on the table. It was the fifth overall pick, goaltender Elvis Merzlikins, either forwards Alexander Tetchier or Peak, and then one of prospects, either Chinnikov or Marchenko, for just Jack Eichel. I feel like that was a pretty good netting for a guy who doesn't want to be on the team anymore. And I understand how these situations work is just because a player doesn't want to be there doesn't really diminish his value, especially if you get into a bidding war. And for Jack Eichel, you get into a bidding war for. But that is a tough blow for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Tough blow. Because they need that. Now, my understanding is that what I would do if I were Columbus, I'd do one of two things. One, I'd reach out to Calgary. I'd reach out to Calgary because they are looking right now. They're getting calls about Sean Monahan. And if I'm Columbus, I reach out to Calgary and I go, listen, I know Sean's on the block. Let's make a deal here. You want to throw in Goodrow too? Cool. Let's make a deal here. We can afford them both. Huge stepping stone. And whether you send back a guy like Max Domi or Tetchier, or you send in a goaltender to back up Markstrom and Merzlikins, like, that's one thing I would do. Number two, you know, I'd be getting ready to pull the trigger on a couple free agents. A couple free agent centers that I'm very high on. David Krejci, if he doesn't come back to the Boston Bruins, which I think he will, but he made $7.25. Did you know David Krejci made $7.25 million? A lot of money. 35 years of age, almost point per game, but like 44 points in 52 games or something like that. I'd look at Granlund. But I would try to go around and I would try to package a deal with Seth Jones to get a forward or mainly a center. Because Jones doesn't want to go back. But I'd be trying to get anybody. I'd be trying to get any team that needs defensive help, specifically a right-hand shot defenseman. And I'd be doing everything in my power. Other news I saw, teams that who could be in on Jack Eichel include the Kings. Yes, that one was obvious. The New York Rangers. Who could the Rangers offer? You've had two top two picks. I don't think Lafreniere is going to go anywhere. Would Kaapo Kakko be a part of it? He hasn't really been great, but he seems like a Columbus Blue Jacket to me for some reason. Like the name Kaapo Kakko just screams Columbus. I don't know, like Patrick Laine's there and Kaapo. Yeah, I can see it. They'd have to give up another first-round pick and maybe like a high-end defenseman that they have. They got a guy in Joey Keane who, former like junior defenseman, used to play for the London Knights. Really good puck-moving guy. You know, if Buffalo's really trying to rebuild and if they're going to be losing a guy like Rasmus Ristolainen, Brandon Montour is going to be hitting the market too. You know, that would make a lot of sense, but I don't know. You really got to sweeten that pot. If it's Jack Eichel going back, they also got a lot of question marks about some of their other players. Like, I think Mika Zibanejad needs to be re-signed or something like that. Or they got to figure out his future. You know, would they want Pavel Buchnevich? Would they want Chris Kreider? Like, I don't know. It's Jack Eichel you're getting back. So you got to give something up to get him. So, Rangers are in on it. The Flames are in on it, apparently. Another thing that I saw, which would be hilarious to me. Montreal Canadiens. People were saying before, Montreal could be in on Jack Eichel. I'm like, how? The conversation would have to start with giving up one of your younger centers. And it's either Kotkaniemi, who they probably prefer, or Suzuki, who they're probably going to keep. Caulfield's off the table. You might lose Deneau, which might give you the cap room to like make things work, but you're probably giving up like Alexander Romanoff, a defenseman too. Probably something else. Goulet, they just drafted this past year. And like a first-round pick and a second. Like, it's Jack Eichel. And Kotkaniemi has shown he's not top two center. And if they're going to keep Reinhart and play Kotkaniemi, he might be able to play your second line. But I don't know. If I'm Buffalo, why aren't you asking for Suzuki? It's Jack Eichel. It's not a random player who you can trade up first and a third for. Like, it's Jack Eichel. Like, he's going to change your franchise when he comes back after getting surgery on his neck. But wouldn't that be hilarious? If you're Montreal, do you do it? Or you try to just keep running it back with this team? I have a hard time believing, and this is going to sound like I'm going to bring this up way too early, but with the divisions going back to the way they are and the way Montreal plays in the regular season, like they're clearly, they elevate once playoff time comes. But you're going back into a division with Tampa Bay, who you might be playing in the finals, Boston, who's perennially a playoff team, Florida, who just seems to get better and better and better, and also played this past year down the stretch without their best right-hand shot defenseman in Aaron Ekblad. Toronto, who, believe it or not, is good in the regular season. And what, there's three playoff spots? And then the wild card? So you're, like, it's going to be tough. So why not get yourself that center in Jack Eichel? Now, I doubt he's going to an Eastern Conference team. I think he's going to either the Anaheim Ducks, and there's a trade involving, like, Trevor Zegras, or he's going to the Kings or the Sharks, and like Logan Couture is coming back. I don't know. There's so many rumors and speculation. It's wild. The Kings make the most sense, and they're the most likely team apparently to move out of the top 10. They have the 9th overall pick. They've already got Kopitar. They just drafted Quinton Byfield, who, if they want Eichel, he's the name I'm bringing up. Like, I don't want anyone else. If I'm Buffalo and if I'm going to the Kings, I'm like, hey, we got Eichel. We want to work some out with you. Like, the first name that's coming up is Quinton Byfield. He was your 2nd overall pick this past year. Very raw player. I watched him a little bit, and I think I was not harsh on him. I was just saying that I didn't notice him as much as you'd think you would notice a 2nd overall pick. You noticed Tim Stützle a lot more this past season, but Ottawa was giving everybody an opportunity. But he'd be the main one, but those sweepstakes are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The Flyers, apparently, the Seth Jones sweepstakes continue to go on. Philadelphia is a team who could be in on them, and it makes a lot of sense. This team's probably looking to move off guys like either Claude Giroux or Jake Voracek, guys with really big cap hits, and maybe even send like a Shane Gostis bear, right? Guys who Philadelphia doesn't want, might have a chance to sign some pretty decent money with a team like Columbus who wants to sign guys and keep them there for a little bit. That can make a lot of sense if, like, Giroux, Gostis, Bear, and a pick. That one I can see kind of happening. But other than that, the same teams are kind of in on Seth Jones right now. It's just kind of make a deal for him. And the price seems to be getting bigger, which this is what I would have expected from the beginning. Seth Jones, I think he's the best defenseman available. The 2nd best defenseman available be Dougie Hamilton. And the new team that apparently has mutual interest for him as he has for them, the Toronto Maple Leafs. Interestingly enough, kind of from the area. I know that's the narrative in Toronto, but it's not. There's a reason it keeps coming up. It's not because it's untrue. There's common interest. He fills a gap. Could quarterback your power play. Could make them way better. Has a cannon of a shot from the point. It's pretty big, so he's decent enough defensively. My question would be what goes back? Because he is now looking for like a sign and trade, and he's using Petrangelo's 8x8 as a benchmark. So I would assume 8 as like a safe number. I'm not going to be like, it's 7.835. Like, it's, I'm assuming an 8x8, very similar to what Jones wants. Point getting defenseman. He's an analytical darling, apparently. I don't like discredit that. I'm just saying, the way I view things right now, I watch the playoffs. You got to get to the playoffs. Dougie Hamilton's a great player. Come playoff time, you got to be like, what I want out of a defenseman is basically what the top 4 in Montreal is. When you dump the puck into the corner, do you want to be the first one there? Against Shea Weber, Jeff Petrie, Ben Chiarot, Joel Edmondson? No. The answer is no. When you dump the puck into the corner against Seth Jones, do you want to be the first one there? The answer is no, because he's going to crush you. Does Dougie do that? I don't know, but apparently when he's on the ice, you don't touch the puck all that much. The understanding is that you'd have to send a guy back to clear up cap space. And it sounds like Toronto ain't giving up any of their top 4. So Marner, Matthews, Nylander, Tavares, they're all staying. There's rumors about the Leafs going big and getting a player from an American team who didn't make the playoffs last year, and speculation was like, San Jose Sharks, Evander Kane, and Philadelphia Flyers, Travis Konecki. And I'm like, okay, who are you giving up for this? I'm going to bring this up in like the next episode or something like that, but Toronto is very limited in terms of what they can do. If they just give up one of those guys, the world is their oyster. They can completely change the culture and the makeup of this team, be a lot more balanced, to be a lot deeper. But anyways, getting off track here. But it's just curious to me as to what you would give up, because another story came out involving Morgan Rielly. And Rielly was saying that he would be willing to take less to stay here. I'm like, okay, what's less? Like, were you looking to get $7 million and you'll take $6.5 million? Still a $1.5 million raise. You're now 2 years removed from that 20-goal, 70-point season. Do you do it again? Does Toronto sign him now in case next year things go back to normal and he blows up? I don't know. Do you want to use him in a trade piece to get a right-hand shot defenseman? I don't know. But you got to give something to get something. And you can't say, we're going to make a big move to improve our team. We're going to shake up a roster and not move one of your big contracts to move money aside to again bring on more money. Like, there's a cap for a reason. You got to give something to get something. And sometimes that includes a roster player that takes up a whole lot of money. So it'll be interesting if anything comes of that. I doubt Dougie Hamilton comes to Toronto. I really do. But that's the rumor going around. And I want to end here on the Leafs here. So I've been a Leaf fan for a bit. A bit meaning basically my whole life. And this year was heartbreaking if you're a Leaf fan. And there is a site, there is an account out there called the Pension Plan Puppets. They're Leaf fans, they write articles, they post content, you know, kind of surrounding the Leafs and what they're doing. And one of the individuals wrote an article. And the point of the article, basically, I'm going to try and pull it up here as I'm talking. But the argument and the title of the article was, you realize we're the bad guys, right? And they wrote here, think about this for a second. Pretend that you've never heard of the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm kind of quoting it here slash paraphrasing it. But pretend that, you know, you don't know who they are. And I were to explain to you that the team that I am talking about has a huge fan base and is the richest in Canada. They get an unprecedented amount of media attention, even from markets that aren't theirs. Charge ticket prices so enormous that ordinary people struggle to attend games. They pay its stars an extreme amount of money before they even had any sort of playoff success. They were previously owned by an owner, Hill Ballard, who was so cartoonishly evil that players distanced themselves from the organization, and are currently owned by two telecommunications companies who are battling for 1-2 at the top for an exorbitant amounts of money, which you also have to buy subscriptions for in order to watch the team. And they had a 3-1 series lead over a team that is gritty, scrappy, no stars, and now we're being considered a team of destiny. You'd understand if you're like, yeah, that sounds like the villain. It sounds like the Death Star. Sounds like the Dallas Cowboys. What's the narrative on the Dallas Cowboys? As Stephen A. Smith pointed out, if you're not a big fan of them, you don't really like them. I have buddies who are fans of teams like Colorado, fans of Western Conference teams. Can't stand Toronto. Now, I'm not saying they're the villain. I'm not. I think they're the good guys. I think when you look at things in movies, the good guys are the teams in green or blue or, right, that heroic color, and the teams in red and purple are normally the bad guys. But my thought is, why don't you just embrace the role? Embrace the us against the world mentality. It's what the Toronto Raptors did. Only team in Canada. their Velociraptor, who's the bad guy in the Jurassic Parks movie. They don the red colors, going into American turf and taking their trophy. For here in Canada, they're the good guys. They're Canada's team. The Canadians, they're called the Canadians, are in the finals representing Canada. So they're donned Canada's team. Now, I think whatever team that's Canadian that goes to the finals ends up being quote-unquote Canada's team that year. The Vancouver Canucks did it in 2011. Everyone was cheering for him. Everyone was cheering for him. But why not embrace that role? Seriously. The media harps on you. Your own fans were burning your jerseys this year. And in prior years before, were throwing crap on the ice, throwing their jerseys on the ice. The fans have been through absolutely everything and deserve to not be thrilled about it. And there was a golden opportunity for them, and they got up to the big three. You know, in a movie where there's like a fight scene, it's the hero versus the villain. Starts off pretty even. The hero gets some shots in. Then the villain comes back and like seemingly has the fight all wrapped up. And just before he's about to take the final blow and take you out forever, right, the hero gets that second wind, second bit of strength, and eventually becomes victorious on their way to saving the princess or the girl. Or, you know, let's not be sexist here, saves the guy. That was Toronto, Montreal. Montreal won game one. Here it looked good. Toronto won three straight. Had the series by the throat. Montreal scraps their way back. Two overtime victories. And basically catapults them into playoff success. You know, Cole Caulfield, Jesperi Kotkaniemi, Nick Suzuki now have almost 60 combined. I think they have over 60 combined playoff games of experience in the last 2 years. 2 years! And the Leafs' big players have only really been able to muster seven games at a time. Six against Washington, six against Boston, six against Boston, five play-in games, but they're playoff games against Columbus, and now seven this year. They add up over time, but man, those numbers could be a lot more. And they've always thought of as the good guys, right? The beacon of light, the red, the blue and white, right? Very heroic colors. I don't know, embrace the villain colors. Why not? Why not have a different mentality towards it? What's the worst that could happen? You lose in the first round of the playoffs? Go be the bad guys for once. That scrap where Joel Edmondson is basically choking out Austin Matthews and punching him in the back of the head, and Matthews is trying to be the big brother like, Mom, look, I'm not doing anything, I swear. Punch him back. Be the bad guy. Slewfoot someone. Give him a little cross check. Let him know you mean business. Let him know you're going to break the rules a little bit. Bend the rules a little bit. It's worked for every other team. It's worked for every... The Islanders are, you know, one of the chippiest teams, most aggressive, hard-hitting, get-in-your-face kind of teams. I heard this from Elliot Friedman. Everyone thinks the Tampa Bay Lightning are these analytical darlings who are, I mean, they are, but who are this precision, puck-moving, non-physical team. They're a nightmare to play against. Brayden Point is a relentless honey badger who will not leave you alone. People saying how much of a nightmare it is every game to go play against Alex Killorn. Patrick Maroon is a nightmare to play against. Would you like to go into the corner one-on-one with Victor Hedman? Probably not. The team is made up of, pardon my language, assholes. Montreal, bunch of assholes. You think Corey Perry's the nicest guy in the league? How many people right now whose teams just got eliminated can't stand Ben Sherratt or Joel Edmondson? Man, would you love to have them on your team. Why? Because they give you the business. They're not afraid to play that role. They're not afraid to be those people. So if I'm a Leaf player watching this, I'm going in next year being like, you know what? I'm going to be a bit of a dick. I'm going to be an ass. I'm going to high stick a couple people. Stick my leg between someone's legs. Trip them up. Cross check them. Get out of my face. Leave me alone. Be the assholes for once. Be the villain. The worst thing that could happen is what's happened for the last 5 years. Best case scenario, you advance your games, become more complete players and a more complete team, and you play more meaningful hockey instead of sitting at home watching your arch rivals go play for a Stanley Cup championship. Okay, before we get on out of here today, a couple news and notes. We'll start off with this. The Seattle Kraken, in a very surprising news story, after thinking Dave Tippett was going to be named the head coach, turn around and hire Dave Haxtell as their first ever coach in franchise history. He's been the assistant coach with the Toronto Maple Leafs for the last two seasons and previously served as the Flyers head coach before breaking into the NHL in 2015. He was a head coach at the University of North Dakota. A lot of people at Dave Tippett basically tabbed for the role. They went Dave Haxtell, which is funny because Toronto, for a time, there were news and rumors about them saying they're going to stand pat right now and wait and see what happens with their coaching staff. I'm like, what do you mean what happens? Who's going anywhere? Evidently, Dave Haxtell is the new head coach of the Seattle Kraken. So listen, congratulations to you. He's been a head coach before on a multitude of levels. He's got an opportunity with a fresh start, fresh new team, and a chance to reinvent himself as a head coach in the National Hockey League. So congratulations to you. ESPN has signed Hall of Famer Mark Messier to a multi-year deal as an NHL studio analyst. The company announced yesterday his contract begins next year. Messier is regarded as one of the best players of all time. 25-year playing career, which is wild, which started in as early in 2003-2004. He won 6 Stanley Cups, 2 Hart Trophies, a Conn Smythe, sits third on both the all-time games played list and the all-time points list. So congrats to Mark Messier. The Islanders, Lou Lamoriello, a couple awards. He has won his second consecutive Jim Gregory General Manager of the Year award, beating out Mark Bergevin and Florida Panthers General Manager Bill Zito. Like I said, second straight time. Didn't really do a whole lot, but you know, someone brought up a question. Is it harder to take a team that's bad and make them good, or is it hard to keep a team at an elite level consistently? I thought about this for a bit. I think it's easy to gain success. I think it's hard to maintain it. Right? It's easy to like start off your career and have potential and get some early success, but it's another thing to stay on top for a while. And that's kind of the question, right? Is it easy to like kind of be the upbringing and be the surprise story and come out of nowhere and be successful for a short period of time? Or is it harder to be the best and stay the best? And I think it's the second of the two. I think it's a lot harder to stay on top. So, listen, congratulations to Lou Lamoriello. He went to Toronto, built up the culture there, left, handed it over, and then goes to the Islanders. They lose their captain, and, you know, they're one win away from the Stanley Cup Finals. So, congrats to him. And then finally, more award news. Boston Bruins star forward Patrice Bergeron has been named the 2000-2001 winner of the Mark Messier NHL Leadership Award. The league announced a couple days ago the award is given annually to the player that exemplifies great leadership qualities to his team on and off the ice during the regular season and who plays in a leadership role in his community growing the game of hockey. The winner is selected by Mark Messier himself. All I've heard are incredible things about Patrice Bergeron and how fantastic he is. And big congratulations to him. Gold medalist, Stanley Cup champion, and now the winner of the Mark Messier NHL Leadership Award. All right, that's it for today's episode. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you listen along on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, Instagram, and Twitter at ST Hockey Podcast. The next episode, we will not only know who the matchups are for the Stanley Cup Finals, but we will have a game played as well. Monday night, Montreal Canadiens versus, I'm going to guess Tampa. I'm going to throw Tampa out there. We'll see if I'm right. We'll see if I'm wrong. Enjoy the weekend. I'll see you back on Tuesday. Until then, that's a wrap.